Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to learn about how blueberries and the chemicals in blueberries, anthocyanins, can help your hippocampal neuron damage induced by extremely low-frequency electromagnetic fields, like cell phones. Who knew? The protective effect of blueberry anthocyanin extracts? Yeah, can help people who've been using cell phones, at least in this model that they use. This was done at the Shenyang Agriculture University in China. And let's face it, we are a society that is immersed in electromagnetic frequencies. Now, I'm sitting in front of a computer up in the mountains, and that's why sometimes the internet will drop out. But I'm 3.5 to 4 feet away from the screen, and I have protective devices on the screen to prevent electromagnetic pulses, and I have a pulse meter that reads that I'm in a safe zone. I don't use a cell phone very often, rare. Might be a week to 2 weeks before I even pick one up. And when I do, I have shields on it, and I only use it with the hollow blue tubes so that nothing penetrates into the brain or jaw or the neck. And at night, I make sure all electronic devices are turned off, unplugged, no power, no blue lights. The average person, unfortunately, is unaware of the dangers that are lurking every time they turn on a computer or using Wi-Fi. In fact, an outstanding documentary by Panorama, British television, and it went into a school, just a regular school, and they had devices that measure electromagnetic frequency pulses. And they put it where a person's body would be, the angle would be about 8 degrees leaning into a computer. And the school was wired, as most are, for Wi-Fi. And it showed that in every single seat in the school, students were receiving a dangerous level of electromagnetic frequencies. So they walked outside and saw how far did they have to go before the range was outside of the danger limit to a safe limit. What was clear across the field, away from the school. Now just imagine when you're driving a car, how do you think that the car is able to know every place you go? And by the way, every car, unless it's an older car, or unless you intentionally tech out the GPS tracking device, which I suggest you do, that car can go under the control of a computer. Yes, it can. Does this. Why? Why is it Google's prerogative to track us? Why is it the ability of those little devices that you ask them a question, they'll answer it? Why is it that they're able to tape record or record and send to their central office computers everything that they hear in your home, including people put it in their bedrooms? Every single thing is recorded, and it's not erased and goes into their cloud. Who gives them the right to do this? So I'm simply saying that we are surrounded by a sea of electromagnetic frequencies, and 5G is now putting hundreds of thousands of these towers with tens of thousands of satellites so that any place you go, unless it's into the rural environments in the country, you're in a city, you're in the suburbs, every block. So you're living in this environment, plus smart meters on top of that. So just pay attention. These are not healthy. But the good news is, at least in one respect, something as simple as taking in blueberries can help protect you. More on health and nutrition in a moment, but also today, I'm going to be talking about Bill Gates' latest statement about a second wave, and next year everyone's got to get vaccinated again. And then what the scientists are calling for safety testing of aluminum-based vaccine adjuvants from Collective Evolution, an article published in the Journal of Trace Elements in Medicine and Biology, quote, the role of aluminum adjuvants in vaccines raises issues that deserve independent, rigorous, honest test science, end quote. And this was published in a peer-reviewed journal, the Journal of Trace Elements. So for the first time, mainstream scientists are concerned, and rightly so. They're only 40 years late, but at least they're here, and now the questions are being raised and about what goes into all these vaccines, and we'll go into the new vaccines as well. So good for them for raising the call. Mind you, these are not complementary holistic scientists. These are mainstream scientists. Also, from Common Dreams, the Earth just had its hottest September ever recorded, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration announced just this week. We had the hottest September on record, and now it's going to get hotter. Also today, Colorado and Utah are on fire. Worst fires in the state's history, and there's zero containment. I remember 3 years ago when I was last on PBS, PBS out of Denver, I'd been on maybe 30 times with 30 different specials. A very nice person there, very progressive person, her name's Sherry Bernson, she would invite me on. Even though people didn't want me on, the people who run major corporations like the Koch brothers, but she had me on in any case. In fact, she played the documentary Seeds of Death over 80 times to educate the Colorado audience that there's a real honest debate about the safety and efficacy of genetically modified foods. Now we've won that battle, but too late. We've shown that GMOs, what is sprayed on the crop like glyphosate, causes cancer. It went from one lawsuit to now 80,000 lawsuits. Very serious. What we're talking about, serious situations. And she said at the time, I'm getting pressure from everyone not to play your documentary, and I keep doubling down and playing it because I don't care the consequences, even if I get fired. And I said, good for you. Now, could you imagine if people in other industries and media had the courage to allow the truth and an opinion on that was contrary to the prevailing opinions? So let's tie some of this together. First, we have had the hottest year on record, the hottest September ever recorded, and now we have massive melting of the permafrost, causing gigantic, what looks like asteroid craters, but they're not, they're methane holes. And now they're afraid that these gigantic methanes on the Pacific Northwest around Alaska are going to cause tsunamis. Yeah. And because of what happens at the bottom of the ocean, which is a shallow ocean there, they can cause a shift in the plates causing these tsunamis. But also remember, every one of those methane bubbles coming up can contribute to global warming. So where is global warming and dealing with it honestly and effectively? There's a lot we could still do. Some things have tipped and there's nothing we can do except get out of harm's way. But other things we could actually do to lessen and forestall some really terrible consequences. How about nothing? Talking, platitudes, nothing. Nothing at all. Are we looking for geothermal springs, of which there are thousands in the United States, to have zero pollution? No. How about wave power off the Great Lakes? No. How about the Atlantic and Pacific? No. The Gulf of Mexico? No. Why not? It's not profitable. Al Gore can't figure out a way to make green capitalism, you know, his new model, and inspire legions of young idealists to follow it. Just be aware that when you have the hottest days on record, and then you have the drying out of the entire West, and you have the reduction in water in Lake Mead that serves as a reservoir of water for 39 million Americans, all of Nevada and right over to Arizona and down through Texas and over to California, well, is it any wonder we have the worst fires going on in California, Washington, Oregon, Canada, the Arctic, Greenland, No, it's not. It's the new norm. In fact, it'll become so normal in the next year that we won't even see it in the news because it won't make a news cycle. If it bleeds, it leads, is the news' motto. And so we'll just say, well, okay, we've been there with the unique storm that leveled in less than an hour 10 million acres out west this year, just 2 months ago, and the unique storm that was 100 miles an hour that knocked out the power and did a lot of destruction upstate New York just a week ago. And so what's going to get our attention? Maybe a Category 6 hurricane hitting Florida, nothing else. So just be aware we are in a non-sustainable, catastrophic environmental position right now. Over 1 billion people do not have the resources to sustain life. And we're doing not a single thing to help them. We're doing not a single thing, to be honest, with the corrupt politicians in California. The corrupt politicians everywhere are not telling the residents the truth. What was a beautiful and wonderful and progressive state, California, is now not sustainable. But to tell people the truth and have them relocate to sustainable places like Maine and New Hampshire and parts of Vermont and, well, no, because then their tax rolls would be reduced and they're not going to do that because they're being politicians. At the federal, state, and local level, politics is utterly and contemptibly corrupt. So just be aware of what's happening. Then it's up to you, because no one's going to come to save you. No one. Also today, I'm going to play some video clips that I think you'll find of interest, including the one we're going to play after our break in a little bit. And that is what it's like to believe in everything the media tells you, either from the left or from the right. It's an interesting clip. And also, I'm going to play a clip of a group of people in a room recently. Now, the whole clip is 18 minutes, and you can see the whole clip, but I'm only going to play 4 minutes. What's unusual is that each one of the people in that room is a medical doctor or a scientist from prestigious backgrounds, and they're telling you they're working together from all over the world to challenge the lies about COVID. Separately today, there is a new report out about a group of scientists, some of the most prestigious scientists on the planet, signing a petition to not go into quarantine anymore, let people go back to work, and only help those stay in quarantine in a different environment, a safer, healthier environment, who have comorbidities and would be susceptible. Remember, COVID virus is real, and COVID virus does kill. It just doesn't kill as many people as we've been told. If you look at the actual numbers, the total numbers of death from COVID do not exceed what is a normal year's in any country, normal year's flu. Yet flu is actually more deadly to young people, children. They die from it. So, yes, it's real. Yes, it's deadly. And no, we're not doing the right thing. An original article on this I'll be sharing with you tomorrow. So that's our show today. Let's go back to health and healing. Now, from the University of Illinois and the University of Montana, an article published in Nutrients, the Journal of Applied Physiology, as well as European Journal of Applied Physiology, it talks about if you want to have more, let's say, athletic performance, eat potatoes. That's right. So they're talking about everyone's looking for the latest, you know, laboratory-created supplement to help you with your exercise. However, as a consumer, we should be looking for simpler, more natural foods, and there's an opportunity to find more diverse whole food options for athletes. For example, 3 studies show that consuming before, during, or after workouts, potatoes positively impacts performance and recovery as effectively and sometimes more effectively than traditional commercial sports products like carbohydrate gels that I don't recommend anyone use. So who knew, right? Now you know. So potatoes. for athletes. Also, a new study out of Indiana University shows that blue light glasses improve sleep and workday productivity. Did you even know there was such a thing as blue light glasses? Now, during a pandemic, according to Indiana University, the amount of screen time for many people working and learning from home, as well as binge-watching TV, has increased dramatically. The research finds that wearing a blue light glass just before sleeping can lead to a better night's sleep and contribute to a better day's work the following day. Quote, "We found that wearing blue light filtering glasses is an effective intervention to improve sleep, work engagement, task performance, and organizational behavior, and reduce counterproductive work behavior," end quote. Quote, "Wearing blue light filtering glasses creates a form of physiological darkness, thus improving both sleep quality and quantity." Let's face it, we're spending too much time with eyes on computer screens and smartphones and tablets, and that emits blue light, which past research has found can disrupt sleep. And workers have become more dependent on these devices, especially as we navigate remote work and school during coronavirus pandemic. The media have recently reported on the benefits of a blue light glasses for those spending a lot of time in front of a computer screen. And this way, it enhances our circadian rhythm, the glasses, not in front of a computer screen, a natural internal process that regulates the sleep-wake cycle and repeats roughly every 24 hours. In general, the effects of wearing blue light filtering glasses were stronger for night owls than for morning larks. So, just something that's important. This was published in the Journal of Applied Psychology. From the Traditional Chinese Medicine University of Chicago, the therapeutic effects of ginseng against Alzheimer's disease. In this recent study, American and Chinese researchers working together identified and evaluated the bioactive compounds present in Asian ginseng. Specifically, they looked at the herb's neuroprotective effects, which have been reported on numerous hundreds of studies, but remain not always well understood. And they published their article in the American Journal of Chinese Medicine. And they found that Siberian ginseng, red root ginseng, Panax ginseng are great for protecting your brain and your nervous system. So that's good news. So to help you diminish the impact of Alzheimer's and lessen its probability, just have yourself some ginseng in a tea each day. And it makes a big difference. It's all about the enzymes responsible for breaking down the neurotransmitter acetylcholine, and it's mainly found in muscles and nerves. They found that ginseng facilitates a protective effect. When you're consuming it, it has strong anti-inflammatory, anti-tumor, and antioxidant capabilities. So that's good. From Stanford University comes a study about meditation. And it says that meditation can counter mental stress on college campuses. We knew that we'd counter stress in our daily lives, so why not on college campuses? Because a lot of students, especially around test time, they're overwhelmed by stress and anxiety. And so a lot of people thought about dropping out. They couldn't make the grade. Then they found that a breath-based meditation could help. They took a look at the science, found out that it makes a difference. So there's an area of Stanford called Stanford Medicine, and this was in genetics, and they found that meditation can de-stress a person, allowing them to be more comfortable in taking tests and normal study. It lessens stress. Well, if it does it for most people, why aren't we using stress reduction through meditation in our schools all across America. We should be. And finally, from the University of Surrey, it showed that people find well-being more in special places rather than mementos. What do I mean? What I mean is this. A team of researchers at the University of Surrey has found that people experience a feeling of well-being when thinking about or visiting a place that holds special meaning for them. They also found that such feelings are stronger than those induced by, let's say, looking at a wedding ring or photographs of their wedding or something that was important to them. Most everybody knows that visiting a place that holds special meaning evokes emotion. But what happens in the brain to cause such feelings? The researchers with this new effort sought to find out by conducting a three-stage study. And they found that when you're looking at something like a photograph, it induces a particular feeling, but actually being there or remembering through quiet introspection and reflection, it was when you were there, it's as if it takes you back and all the memories of what you experienced when you were there. A wonderful trip with remarkable scenery, it brings you back to that moment. And therefore, you're recreating the emotions, the feeling of joy and happiness, excitement. I remember the first time that I was in Paris and I went to the top of the Eiffel Tower and I looked around and just the wonderment of how beautifully the city was laid out and how much of the old architecture from hundreds of years is still there. But then you could see it, but that was from a different perspective. That was from a bird's eye perspective. But then going down to the ground and then walking the streets, and you realize you're walking streets that were there hundreds of years ago, and it gives you this sense of timelessness. One of the strongest memories that I've ever had is it's 2:00 in the morning. It's a week before Mardi Gras. People are asleep more often than not. They stay up all night when it gets closer to Mardi Gras Day. And I was just walking the streets. Now, the Mardi Gras is held in the French Quarter. And the French Quarter is hundreds of years old. And everything represents that old style. The courtyards behind the doors in the front. From the front, most places don't have much of an aesthetic look. You walk through that door and suddenly you're in beautiful courtyards with fountains and ivies and flowers hanging from balconies. And when walking around, and it was just dead quiet, I just felt this timelessness of connecting with everything that the energy of these buildings were emanating. So anytime I want to just remember something that puts a smile on my face, I just remember walking through the French Quarter or walking down a country lane in the French countryside. So you see, all of us, everyone listening right now, you all can connect with places you've been that bring back special memories. So when you get a little stressed in the day, take a moment, sit quietly, and reflect back on a time that was easier to deal with. Now, I'll give you one last study today. This is from the University of Zurich. Early trauma influences metabolism across generations. This is the epigenetics. So what could happen to you when you're 4 years old can then happen in a different way through the energy of what happened to your child and their child. Yeah. So needless to say, at some point in our lives, we have to stop, take a week, and each day just reflect upon what happened and did we over or under exaggerate its significance and are we still holding on to it and how does it impact our lives so we can process this in a more constructive and healthy way because trauma can damage us in ways that we're not aware of. That's the latest on health and healing. We're 25 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break. And tomorrow, I'm going to be talking about a group that recently met. You probably haven't heard about it. These are some of the most influential scientists on the planet. and they did what was called the Great Barrington Declaration. And these are some renowned people. And I'll discuss their backgrounds and show you the people. I signed the petition too, but I'll tell you all the people that you may not have ever known existed. For example, Dr. Suntra Gupta, Oxford University epidemiology professor, and Dr. Sananta Bhattacharya, Stanford epidemiology professor, and dozens of others. What's good about this is that there's now 29,202 medical practitioners, 10,576 medical and public health scientists, 532,027 concerned citizens who've signed the petition. Wow. When was the last time you heard of what amounts to 40,000 doctors and scientists signing a petition saying, we got it wrong on coronavirus? Do you remember all those stories I was telling you about and why the science didn't make sense and we were mixing comorbidities, taking people who had died and saying they had died from coronavirus rather than they died positive for coronavirus? Even if they weren't tested, they were still, you died from coronavirus. Even if you were in a cancer ward with hospice care, you died of coronavirus. That was not unintentional. That is a massive public health fraud. And so now, mainstream professors and scientists are risking their careers and coming out, but there's not just one of them. There are tens of thousands, and it's going to grow to hundreds of thousands. And we should be aware of this. Brian Shilhavy of Health Impact News wrote an article on this today about hundreds of thousands of doctors and nurses and others worldwide are taking action to combat misinformation being propagated by governments and government-controlled media, presenting a false propaganda campaign concerning COVID. Again, no one's denying COVID is real. No one's denying you can die from it. We're just saying who's most likely to die and what are the most likely lies that have impacted this and who benefits from this. So this is what we're focused on. So we are speaking up. It's just not a few of us speaking up. And it's going to grow and grow and grow. So when Bill Gates says, well, there's a second wave coming, and you got to get vaccinated next year as well as this year, no, Bill, why don't you take our vaccines for us, okay? We're not stupid. We don't believe you. We don't believe Anthony Fauci. We don't believe anybody in authority out there who's guiding this because you're all so bad. And unfortunately, because you give so much money, people want to project a good persona to you, and you don't deserve it. Oh, and by the way, the American Society of Microbiology just gave us a report just this week saying, quote, in recovering COVID-19 patients, antibodies fade quickly. What does that mean in lay language? It means that, yeah, you got sick. Let's say you're an older person. Next year, when the flu season comes again and COVID recomes, it's not going away, you're likely to get sick again. So why not build up your immune system so you can prevent and lessen the likelihood of that happening? So you can add COVID to the viruses that will be around for a while, but as long as we don't test with wrong and fraudulent testing like PCR and we don't get the vaccine, then we have a chance to build up our immune system naturally, and that can save lives. Also tomorrow, on the Progressive Commentary Hour, we have a fabulous program. And then next week, we have James Corbett talking about the fraud of the Great Reset. Don't believe them when they tell you the Great Reset is coming and it's a good thing. It is a bad thing. We'll dissect that in an hour program. So we have a lot to share. Back in a moment. And we're going to go directly into that video that I mentioned because I want you to see the truth. This is called What It's Like to Believe Everything the Media Tells You. Back in a moment.
People are freaking out right now. Like, they're tired of having their constitutional rights taken away with a mandatory stay-at-home orders. Cities are suing the California governor so their people can go back onto their beaches again. Idiots. Like, I'll stay at home for the rest of my life if they tell me to. Who knows how to make the best choices for my health and my life? Definitely not me. So I'm more than happy to put my blind trust in power-hungry politicians and definitely uncorrupt groups like the World Health Organization. I think they know what's best for me because, like, they know me better than I know me. The last thing you want is people to have the freedom to make their own choices and then experience the consequences of their choices. I think free will is a little bit of a sin. I don't think we should have it in the first place. Like, you wouldn't give a razor blade to a 3-year-old because it wouldn't be in their best interest. So you shouldn't give freedom to people either. All these Americans that want their freedoms are just ungrateful. I say, if you don't like how things are going and you just want your freedom, then why don't you move to a free country like North Korea or Venezuela? You freaking heathens. Oh, I 100% buy into the narrative they tell me. I think it's ludicrous some people don't 100% believe the narrative like it's the absolute truth. Why wouldn't you? Think about it. If you were in charge of a giant powerful business that pretends it's a charity like the World Health Organization, you wouldn't spend your time carefully crafting your message to manufacture consent with the public to get them to go along with your mysterious agenda that's in your best interest that you tell them is in their best interest. You'd probably just get up to the podium and have a spontaneous conversation and see what comes out of your mouth while you're riffing. I think that's what they're doing. That's why when Trump gets up there and talks about things like injecting Lysol, it seems so out of the ordinary because he spends months carefully crafting his message. I also find the more scared I am, the more unwilling I am to believe anything other than the original narrative that they told me that they're still telling me, even when new, more accurate information emerges. Like when USC did research in LA County a few weeks ago and showed the amount of people infected with COVID-19 is 28 to 55 times more than we originally thought. Yep, because most of these people don't have symptoms, it suggests the infection is far less dangerous than we originally thought. And in contrast to the original guesstimation of a death rate of 4.5% in COVID cases, the LA County Health Department says the new research suggests the actual death rate in COVID cases is between 0.1 and 0.2%. That means the actual death rate in COVID-19 cases is 22.5 to 45 times less deadly than we were originally told. But this new scientific data is irrelevant to me because it's like I already made up my mind when I was the most frightened. And I'm gonna keep believing what makes me the most frightened, because it just feels more congruent in my being that way. I'll also spend a lot of time looking for information that they shove in my face that confirms my existing beliefs. There's nothing like a little confirmation bias to help my mind continue to learn and expand. I'm also really good at believing the COVID death count, as anyone who is diagnosed with COVID-19 and then dies, irregardless of what they die from, pre-existing condition or otherwise, their death is labeled a COVID death. Makes sense to me. Instead of letting the doctor who is treating the patient use their medical education to determine the cause of death, I think the mandate to label it a COVID death is more accurate. And it helps the COVID death count get higher than it is. And the higher it is, the more scared I am. And the more scared I am, the more obedient I am. Yes, I would like a mandatory vaccine. I'm scared enough that I think more things should be mandatory. Sometimes the best medicine is like the best sex, non-consensual. They work on the same premise. But I'll tell you this, those vaccines better be brought to market without long-term human trials. And I think it will be. It's better that way because the long-term trials that prove a vaccine's safety and effectiveness are pretty arrogant. It's just like, hey, let's spend years rubbing it in your face how great this thing is. I say it's better to just be humble and forgo that bragging period. It's pretty well proven that being proactive and taking care of your health won't keep you healthy. Our only hope is in the pharmaceutical companies protecting us. They have a very good track record of never harming anyone, so I sleep pretty good at night. I'm also kind of asleep right now. And yes, I would like to be microchipped, as long as they tell me it's for my own good. And I apologize if I'm being a little too greedy here, but I'd like 2 microchips, please, just to keep me extra safe. Or maybe we should just do a baby step and use mandatory tracking apps on our phone first to keep us safe, and then go to the microchips. I think that's probably the way to go. I'll tell you who I trust more than God, Bill Gates, because he's got more money than God. Money can't buy happiness, but it can definitely buy my trust. I accurately look at Bill Gates as a medical authority when it comes to vaccines and being undiseased, because he's a software engineer, not a doctor. He doesn't have a medical degree or any other degree for that matter, which means he's not part of the corrupt medical system because he doesn't have any medical training, which means he knows more about medicine than medical professionals. Like when my child's sick, I don't take him to a doctor. I take him to the Apple store to have a computer engineer take a look at him. I'm not an idiot. Bill not only has my trust because he wears sweaters over collared shirts, but also because of how he found the path of altruism that he's on. Think about his journey. In 1999, he was sued by the federal government and found guilty of breaking antitrust laws because he created a monopoly with Microsoft, presumably because he's so power hungry for control and domination. Then the very next year in 2000, he founded the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which now controls the World Health Organization, which is spearheading the charge to narrate to us what's going on with the coronavirus and the race to find a vaccine to cure it. He miraculously switched from being such a power-hungry Microsoft overlord breaking laws to the extent that the US government had to sue him, to just 1 year later with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation being such a shining example of altruism that he selflessly cared so much that he made it his mission to rid the world of disease with vaccines. Sounds like he found Jesus to me. There's no other explanation. Oh, and get this. This one time, a friend of mine who's obviously a conspiracy theorist who needs to be medicated had this outrageous theory that after he was found guilty in 1999 of breaking antitrust laws, Bill Gates realized that Microsoft could no longer be the vehicle that he used to gain more power and control, so he founded the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation the next year to be the new vehicle for him to gain more power and control. And he even said Bill was smart enough to make the vehicle appear as though he's using it to help the world, even though he's just using it to take over more of the world, which would make the world help him take more of their power and control. So crazy. I was like, bro, he's not that smart. He's a billionaire, not a trillionaire. The mainstream narrative helps me classify anyone that doesn't go along with its narrative as an irresponsible lunatic conspiracy theorist. That way I can label them as crazy rather than thinking about what they're saying. So, my friend's a crazy lunatic. Thinking for yourself and making your own choices is dangerous during a time like this.
Well, a different perspective. Now, a commentary. With every passing day, new facts about the Corona-19 virus are in our susceptibility to infection and scientifically based approaches are upending many of the earlier assumptions. Now thousands, tens of thousands of respected physicians, scientists, university professors, and medical researchers are questioning why the World Health Organization, the CDC, Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, and other world health officials continue to rely upon a mathematical modeling that has been shown to be devastatingly erroneous for dealing with this pandemic. Hundreds of articles and videos are appearing rapidly to raise very legitimate concerns. These are not by conspiracy theorists, but rather by highly respected individuals in the medical community and who are at the heart of the orthodox paradigm. Orthodoxy challenging orthodoxy. Examples abound showing that the original projections for COVID-19 and its course were wrong by substantial measure. The original antibody tests were grossly inaccurate, junk. The PCR test for tracing infection rates is horribly misused and has resulted in creating a false scientific narrative. Demanding quarantine for all citizens, closing schools, and the entirety of our of our work society has disrupted normal human life. And it's the ultimate fool's errand where the supposed best and brightest overseeing the pandemic have been either extremely naive, utterly incompetent, which is doubtful, or complicit in gross negligence. At this moment, there is an increasing number of people worldwide stepping out of the comfort and safety of their esteemed positions as medical school professors and clinicians, risking their reputations to challenge our current political and global policies. Earlier this month, the American Institute for Economic Research convened a meeting that brought together some of the world's leading epidemiologists, scientists, and journalists to examine, in the spirit of open conversation and unbiased perspectives, the global emergency management for handling the pandemic. The end result is the Great Barrington Declaration. What this medical professionals mean to say, and which they did, was, quote, focused protection strategy, a scientifically measured approach to bring an end to the lockdowns. In the declaration, they recommend, quote, schools and universities should open for in-person teaching. Extracurricular activities such as sports should resume. Young, low-risk adults should work normally rather than from home. Restaurants and other businesses should open. Arts, music, sports, and other cultural activities should resume, end quote. So who are these individuals? Are these conspiracy wonks? Is this an extension of those mad hatters who are not credible? No. Here's who some of the signers are. Professor Martin Kulldorff, Professor of Medicine, Harvard University. Professor Suntra Gupta, Professor of Epidemiology, Oxford University. Professor Jay Bhattachary, Professor at Stanford University Medical School. Dr. Alexander Walker, former chair of epidemiology, Harvard School of Public Health. Dr. Andreas Kalvanznes, epidemiologist, Karolinska Institute in Sweden. Dr. Angus Dalgelchi, infectious disease expert and professor, University of London. Dr. Anthony Brooks, professor of genetics, University of Leicester in the United Kingdom. Professor Anne Javier, Professor of Pediatrics and Clinical Ethics, University of Montreal. Professor Ariel Muntz, Professor of Clinical Microbiology and Immunology, Tel Aviv University. Professor Boris Kostjubat, Institute of Medical Psychology, University of Tübingen in Germany. Dr. Cody Meisner, Professor of Pediatrics, expert on vaccine development, Tufts University School of Medicine. Dr. David Katz, physician and founder of the Yale University Preventive Research Center. He's an MD, PhD. Dr. David Livermore, infectious disease epidemiologist and professor, University of East Anglia in the United Kingdom. Professor Eaton Friedman, professor of medicine, Tel Aviv University in Israel. Professor Elon Shabhar, professor emeritus of public health, University of Arizona. Professor Florian Limborg, professor at Hanover Medical School in Germany. Professor Gabriel Gomes, mathematician studying infectious disease epidemiology and professor at the University of Strathclyde in Scotland. Professor Gerhard Kronke, professor of translational immunology, University Nuremberg, Germany. Professor Gesine Weckmann, professor of health education and prevention, Germany. Professor Gunter Kampf, associate professor, Institute of Hygiene and Environmental Medicine at Greifswald University, Germany. Professor Helen Kohlhahn, professor of medical informatics and epidemiology, University of Edinburgh. Professor Jonas Ludvigsson, epidemiologist and professor at the Karolinska Institute and senior physician at Örebro University Hospital in Sweden. Professor Carol Sikora, oncologist and professor of medicine at the University of Buckingham in the United Kingdom. Professor Laura Lazzaroni, professor of psychiatry and biomedical data science, Stanford University Medical School. Professor Lisa White, Professor of Epidemiology, Oxford University, Professor Mario Recker, Malaria Researcher and Associate Professor, University of Exeter, Professor Matthew Strauss, Professor of Medicine, Queen's University, Canada, Professor Michael Levitt, Biophysicist and Professor of Structural Biology, Stanford University, and recipient of the Nobel Prize in Chemistry, Professor Mati Gerlich, Professor of Immunology, Tel Aviv University, Israel, Professor Partha Majumdar, founder of the National Institutes of Biomedical Genomics in India, Professor Paul McHeag, Professor of Epidemiology and Public Health, University of Edinburgh, and just a few more, Professor Rajiv Bhatai, physician and public health policy expert, Veterans Administration, United States, Professor Rodney Ostervant, Professor of Biostatistics, Baylor University, Professor Simon Thornley, epidemiologist and biostatistician, professor at the University of Auckland, Professor Simon Wood, biostatistician, professor, University of Edinburgh, Scotland, Professor Stephen Brimmer, professor of medical statistics, University of Sussex, and finally, Professor Sylvia Fogel, psychiatrist at Massachusetts General Hospital and instructor at Harvard Medical School, Professor Uday Quimran, professor of clinical microbiology and immunology, Tel Aviv University, and Professor Ulrike Kammerer, professor of biology and immunology, University of Würzburg in Germany. If I continue giving you the names of the professors alone and scientists and Nobel Prize winners, if I did not stop for a break, it would take me 2 to 3 days to give half the names. No longer is it just information on this or maybe one other media outlet. Now, the cloud has opened, and we are seeing hundreds of thousands of voices around the world, credible voices, outstanding voices, orthodox voices, mainstream voices, who are saying, stop, we got it wrong. Now, no one is denying that COVID-19 virus exists, nor its lethality. However, how is it being managed is rightly being challenged by voices throughout the world. This is because now it has been proven that facts are being completely ignored and the mainstream media has been an utter failure to present them honestly and objectively. Fact. People are dying from comorbidities such as heart disease, cancer, obesity, and impaired immune systems. However, these have been and are being mislabeled as COVID-19 deaths. This has resulted in grossly exaggerated and inflated statistics of the actual cause of deaths. The majority of the so-called COVID-19 deaths were people already at the end of their lives with or without the virus. Fact, among those who have tested positive for the virus and are either asymptomatic or have resolved the infection, if in fact it was COVID-19 and not another respiratory infection, have their immune systems to thank. Health officials, on the other hand, have conflated people who test positive with the false assumption that they are all sick and all spreaders or could die. That is not the truth. Fact, the body's own immune system, complemented by a healthy diet, active lifestyle, stress management, and nutrients such as vitamin C, D, zinc, and omega-3 fatty acids, have been shown to either prevent or lessen the virus's impact. None of these above facts are being shared or advocated by the mainstream media. Instead, the entire strategy is based upon new drugs and unproven vaccines that will highly likely be mandated. This is a moment when we should stop and listen to other independent experts who do not have any corporate, political, or ideological biases to pervert their rational thinking. You can read this, download it on the website today. Now, we're going to close out the program by hearing from voices, main scientific voices from around the world who congregated together recently to say that they are now starting alliances. Listen to what they have to say.
All saying together, this affair of COVID-19 is just not true. And we have the duty especially as medical doctors, to speak out the truth. And so I'm very delighted to have these international professionals today here in Berlin. And we will have a lot of actions for the people today.
Hello, everybody. I am Dr. Mohammed Adil. I have traveled from United Kingdom yesterday with my fellow colleagues to participate at this magnificent World Doctor Alliance. I am consultant surgeon with 30 years of unblemished record while working for the National Health Services in the United Kingdom. I am fellow of the Royal College of Surgeons of United Kingdom with significant contribution towards medical sciences, teaching, training, research work, and charity and human relief. I am chairman of the World Doctor Alliance, and on this platform, we are trying to bring the truth to the public related with the infectivity of the orchestrated coronavirus and its dangerosity and the lethal effects. We are bringing the truth to the public. It's not, the coronavirus is not as dangerous as it has been orchestrated, and we have to live with that. Many thanks.
Hello, I'm Elke de Klerk from the Netherlands. I also work in Belgium as a general practitioner. I founded Doctors for Truth in the Netherlands, and I organized a meeting, an international congress on ethics. It was the medical and ethical emergency deliberation. We are here to tell the people about the science that is now there and the facts about data about ill people. It is not as terrible as the media are telling you. It's we have contact with all those doctors in the Netherlands, hundreds of doctors, and we are keeping records, and the hospitals are not full. The people are not ill. They are tested, but the tests that are provided don't work as they should. So we have to get this out to the public, and we have to also be there for our colleagues to have an open debate again about this. Thank you very much.
My name is Mikael Nordfors. I'm a medical doctor, author, musician, and political reformist from Sweden. And I have started an organization called People's Court. And our aim is to support everyone standing up against the tyranny, the medical tyranny now getting all over the world, so that people don't have to be afraid. We'll help them to get a new work, get money, support, collect money to support all the people standing up. And we will arrange a new Nuremberg trial, hopefully in Nuremberg, to litigate against all the criminals behind this hoax.
Hi, my name is Zach Cox. I'm a holistic dentist. Now, what you can see if you go to prn.fm is you'll see the entire room is packed with doctors from all over the world. And they're all starting organizations. And some have 1,000 doctors, others have 500 at this moment, and it's growing. And they're working together, the synergy. And now it's spreading. It's spreading faster than the virus, but it is there to heal, to help. And as you just heard him say, there's a group of international jurists, people with outstanding backgrounds in constitutional law, international law, who are going to be convening, right as we speak, it's been going on for about 2 months, a tribunal where they're bringing in doctors all over the world and saying, what is the truth about the tests? And consistently, the truth is the tests are not gold standards. Therefore, if you're making public policy saying, oh my God, we have all these people who are infected and are testing positive, do you mean that they're sick? Or are they simply testing positive because that inaccurate PCR test measured a cold virus that they had 20 years ago, which is dead, non-infective? And you're now saying that that person is a danger to society and must be vaccinated, must be tracked, must be in quarantine with an ankle bracelet? So mark my words, within a year, charges will be brought against Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci. Now, even though they are exempt from any liability in the United States, they're not worldwide, and they will be held up as criminals. And mark my words, that's going to happen. Finally, justice coming. So there will be a counterbalancing measure by me in the very near future. But right now, every day this week, another commentary. We intend to bring you the truth and let that stand You've been lied to. You've been used. You've been manipulated. This time, they don't get away with it. This time, we, the people, we, the scientists, we, the journalists, we, the citizens, are going to push back, and they can stuff that vaccine. That's for another discussion. Thank you for listening, and have a nice day.